Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Jesus, glory, honor, and power to the Lamb who reigns forever. Amen. Amen. Blessings
and praise to the Lamb of God forever. Amen.
You are singing
thank God for today. I think it's... Can you hear me? Is he okay? We want to move straight into the Word of God. Are you ready? Media. All right. Last week was a very wonderful time with our Father at the University of Ghana, Legon. It was a great blessing. God bless all of you for your work, effort, labor, everything you did towards that. And I believe that... we are all blessed in the name. Okay. So I believe we are all blessed being there. Hallelujah. Last 2 weeks, or let's say the beginning of this year, we're looking at the last aspect of the Thou Anointed. And the last sub-series is what? Stewarding the Anointed. And we started laying some foundations about being stewards of the anointing of God. And on that journey, we came to the point where we want to look at the things that can affect our stewardship of the anointing of God. We dealt with pride as the first point. We started with money, and we want to continue on the aspect of money. So as our custom is, we want to read the anchor scriptures. And our first scripture will be the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to 8. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The verse 8, our last verse. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. The emphasis here. Freely you have what? Received. Freely give. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18 is our second reading. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. And you shall remember. This is a very important statement. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his what? Covenant which he swore to your fathers, and as it is this day. Our last reading that we all know, we're going to read together, Philippians chapter 4 verse 9. We're reading together. It's a very popular scripture. We all know it. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. Let's go together. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, you are prophesying again. Let's go. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ. As it always pleases the Lord, we want to, as I said, continue in the matter of what? The love of money part 2. Now, with a quick recap so that we can be able to align to what we're going to talk about today. last two weeks, we emphasized on the opinion of God, the king that we are subject to, his opinion on money. And we found out that his opinion on money is that money is unrighteous what? Mammon. And that we explained that that unrighteous mammon means that something that possesses you from the context to which Jesus presented it. And in that manner, we saw that it has certain traits of characters. Number one, that money has no moral compass. It is neither good nor bad. It depends on who determines which other direction it will go. And for that matter, God has decided to use it as a test to our genuity, whether or not we are with him or we are there because of money. Are you there? Are you with me? So the unrighteousness of mammon has to do with its place of originality. And we had a whole theological economic class. You remember that? To find the originality of what? Money. Where money comes from. So that was where we ended. And I said the reason why I gave you the opinion of our king on money is to establish why the love of money is a dangerous path. And if I don't establish the opinion of God on money, it will be very difficult for me to guide you on how the love of money can destroy you. Are we there? So that was all that we looked at last 2 weeks. Today, we want to continue in that aspect. And want to now come back to the main thing that I said, the love of money. As I explained the other time, I said the love of money is the conviction or a determination to make money at all costs by all means. The key word is what? Make money by what? All means at what? All costs. This determination is what Apostle James explained as the foundation to express all forms of evil. So in the book of, Paul to Timothy. So you find out that in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. He said that for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And when we say you love money, the interpretation is that you have determined or you have to make a determination or you have a conviction that money should be made at what? All cost by what? All means. Now, because God did not create us to be an expression of evil. Now, let me help you. God never created man to be an expression of evil. I hope you know that. He created us to be an expression of what? His image and what? Likeness. Not to express all kinds of evil. So therefore, even our natural orientation as humans has even compelled us to define some means by which money can be made safely, and other means that when we make money, it can lead us on the path of what? All kinds of evil. Are you following me now? So the love of money, which means that making money by all means at all costs, is never the natural expression of man. God never created us that we should do everything we can to make money, which will lead us to establish the root of evil. Therefore, you see that even in our natural life as man, natural man, in our natural world here, there are definite definitions of means by which we can make money that is safe and sometimes legal. And means that is also illegal and can bring destruction to you. Both means can be traced to scripture. So let's look at some of the means. What are some of the means? Number one, we know that naturally we believe that a legal way of making money is working for it. Do you all agree? And it's traceable to scriptures. Let's read some scriptures here. Now, when we say working for money, this means you exchange your precious time and effort for money. At every given time, for you to gain money, one of the legal ways is that you exchange your time and effort for that. How many of us are into that? From Monday to Friday, some people even do Monday to Saturday. That's where you exchange your time and what? Your effort to make money. That is legal. It's also recognized by God. Now, let's read the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He who tills his land will what? Be satisfied with bread. But he who follows frivolity is devoid of what? Understanding. Can you give us another translation if you have the New Living Translation? So the Bible said that a hard worker has plenty of what? Food. But a person who chases fantasies has not. Please, I want you to see the last word. The person who chases fantasies has what? That's yes, the word of the Lord. Amen. So one way that we can legally make money is that we work for it. Another example is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, verse 28. So natural human expression does not even support the act that we should make money at all costs by all means. Let's look at it. Let him who stole no more, no longer, but rather let him what? Labor. This is New Testament and epistle of what? Paul. Labor, work. Working with his what? Hands. Which is what? Good. That he may have something to give him who has what? Need. So the Bible says that when we work, it's good. There's nothing wrong with you waking up in exchange of your time and labor for money. The Bible said it's a good thing. Are we on the same page? And it's already in human natural expression. So anybody who works and makes money, do you get it? The person is not under any form of legal threat. But there are some works I'm going to get there. We are going to look at some of those. Number two, inheritance. One of the ways you can have money, wealth, is by what? Inheriting it. Is that not so? Genesis chapter 24, verse 34. Genesis 24, verse 34. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servant, and camels and donkey. Let's go. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to him. So if you read, he was talking about Isaac's what? Riches. That the father has left him with what? Abundance of what? What? We can read Genesis chapter 25, verse 6. Genesis chapter 25, verse 6. We can read now. Let's go. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of what? The east. So he gave them what? Inheritance. That word give there is what? Inheritance. Are we there? Some of you are blessed because somebody has given you some inheritance. Amen. It's a legal way of what? Making money, having money. The third one is material gifts from people. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to 12. So we are still on the issue of money, but the love of money, making money at all means by all at all cost, is not a natural expression of man. And that I'm trying to prove to you that by natural expression, we have things we define legally and accepted way of making money. And I'm giving you three of them. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Verse 2. Abraham was very rich in what? Livestock, in silver, and in what? Do you know where he got it from? Go back to Genesis chapter 12. When he went down to Egypt. When Abraham went down to Egypt, and the king thought Sarah was the sister, paid him a lot of dowries to have the sister. And the Lord said, you're a dead man. And when he was sending Abraham off, he added more as a way of redeeming his life. And that is how Abraham became what? Rich. Wealthy. So this is by material blessing. But I want to dwell on this aspect of the material blessing as we descend into others. However, we must understand that it is not all kinds of money that should enter our coffers, pocket, or account. Gifts are good, but not all kinds of money or gifts that should enter into our pocket. Now, which ones should we be careful of? You should be careful of any money, gift, that you know the source is accrued from evil activity. Do not accept it. When you know that the source of that money is from an evil activity, do not accept it. I'm going to tell you why. Number two, if you also have a check in your spirit, if your spirit is resisting you not to accept some money or financial gift or any form of gift, don't take it. Are we there? Why am I saying this? Because any money that accrues from evil activity is called blood money. Somebody say blood money. Good. So even though it can be that you legally, like you receive a gift, material blessing, a gift, which is okay, that gift must have a caveat that it doesn't come from a source of what? Evil what? Activity. So, you can't say that somebody is into sakawa, fraud, and the person has come to see and say, oh, the Lord has laid it on my heart to bless you with a car. And you know very well that, the person is into that. And say, oh, bring it. It will be sanctified for the master's use. Let's read out chapter 1 verse 19. Now, some of us think that as far as I'm not part of the act, and because I am holy, when it comes into my hands, it is all made what? Holy. When we receive you what? We sanctify it. No, please. As far as you have the full knowledge that the source is an evil activity, stay away. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language Akaldema, that is field of what? Blood. And this field was used, the money that Judas betrayed Jesus for, that was the field that was bought. And because that field was bought with that money of betrayal, the money was called, the field was called blood what? Field of blood. Are we on the same page? Some of us think that, oh, okay, let me move on. Now, the thing is that any time you accept any money, that number one, you are restricted in your spirit not to accept, or you know very well that it is coming from the source of evil activity, you have opened yourself up for condemnation. Sometimes when the devil wants to have access legally to your life, he sends that which has been cursed to you. I'm going to give you a proof. See, there are many people whose life have been destroyed just because of gifts. So if the devil wants to destroy a person's life, or when your life, when there can be some form of legal access to your life, a gift can be sent to you, and that will be all. Let's look at some biblical example. Let's take 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. The case of Balaam. Do you know Balaam's condemnation came as a result of gifts? Money. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sinning, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous what? Practice. And are accursed what? Children. Verse 15. They are forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of what? Balaam, the son of what? Beor, who loved the wages of what? Unrighteousness. Wages of what? Unrighteousness. What happened to him? He was killed. He was destroyed. Don't think that you, if somebody brings you something that you have knowledge that thing is coming from unrighteous place, an evil activity, when you receive it, you have opened the door to what? Condemnation. Have you heard the story of Gehazi? In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, have you heard that story? When Naaman came and Naaman was healed of his leprosy, the prophet had restriction in his spirit not to receive the gift. But Naaman said, Gehazi said, this my master does not know the principles of making wealth. So he chased after him. He said, let the leprosy of Naaman come upon you and your generation. See, some of us, we have received some gift that our children are even going to be victims of it. Watch out. It is never true that we have to make money at all, by all means, at all costs. And it is not true that all gifts are saved to receive. I'm so surprised when I see Christian sisters, people call themselves Christian sisters, chasing fraud guys. dating them. You are not part. He is doing it. And you have been telling him to stop. But you have been enjoying the money. Continue. The leprosy of Naaman will come to you. Yes, the leprosy of Naaman will come on you. Because anytime you open, see, do you know that some men of God have been set up before by fraud guys, by coming to sow seed? Apostle Suleiman has shared that story before. That there was one time one guy came to him, said, "Oh, Papa, I'm this and that, come to submit," and brought a very huge money. He said, and his spirit registered that that money shouldn't be accepted. So he refused the money. He prayed for him, but he refused the money. Again, he brought a car gift. He refused it. In less than a month, it was announced that he was under investigation. Now, when he was caught, he started mentioning the people who were partakers of the fruit of his labor. I've given this person like this. Imagine Apostle Suleiman at that time received it. Do you know that becomes a public news? There is no amount of explanation as innocent as you are. Somebody can just drag you into the mud, simple, by a gift. So you have to see, I've said it before and I'll repeat it. As we stay in this church now, none of you here, by my best of knowledge, can give me a gift of maybe some. Yeah, I shouldn't conclude. But 98% of you here cannot give me a car gift now. I mean it. When you bring me a car as a gift, the kind of questions and answers you go through. Yes. Let my faith be less, and that my integrity shall be saved. Imagine I'm here and then my sister-in-law Francisca walks to me and, "Pastor, your bed, I want to sow a car into your life. Benz." Where did she get it from? Hard work. Do you get it? The prophet Jericho will be there. Then Bema will walk to him. Then you give him iPhone 17 Plus. Prophet, won't you ask questions? Why will you take it? What under what capacity? I may call an investigation on you to check you all. Why? Because I don't want to profit from any activity that is already from a source of cash. So even though we can be blessed by gifts, there is a caveat over there. We must avoid blood money. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's look at some of the means that can lead us, or it's already declared by our natural expression, as things that express the love for money. Number one, stealing and robbery. Stealing is not hard work. Robbery is not hard work. It is an expression of making money by all means, at all costs. Robbery is the advanced form. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 11. It's a scripture about that. As a partridge that bruises but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and his end will be out a fool. Stealing, robbery. The Bible says, he that steals shall steal no more. Stealing is not hard work. Some few years ago, there are some people in the media who were telling some sisters to work hard, telling us the hard work pays, but we didn't know their hard work was stealing and robbery. Internet fraud, robbery. Stealing from old age people, intelligent stealing. Internet fraud. You are a thief, Ole. You are a thief. No, there's no justification for that. And the moment you have that kind of thing, you are just telling us that we are making money at all means, by all means, at all costs. And that is the love of money. And the root of evil is seen in that. Number two, extortion, aka kwashi. Those of you went to senior high school within the year of 2008 to 2013. Let me see your hands up. 2008 to 2013. I think Prophet Jericho people can relate a lot. Your time, it was very strong. Kwashi, extortion. There was one act in our school when we were in Form 1 that your school father was sent you with 5 Ghana cedis and asked you to buy wachi 4 cedis, fish 3 cedis, egg, everything, and bring a change of 10 cedis. Why are you looking at me? And woe betide you don't bring the change. Extortion, Kwashi. Taking things from people by force. It's not the right way of making money. It's wrong. It's an expression of love of money. James chapter 5 verse 4. Matthew chapter 23 verse 25. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 13. I'm giving you scriptures. Extortion. Now let me explain extortion to you. Is it, don't extort, but you know you can be extorted. God permit that he can extort from you. Yes. I'm going to show you how it is done. Extortion is when you are qualified, you are due something, but somebody says you should pay for it before it should be given to you. That is extortion. For instance, every Ghanaian is legitimately qualified to go into immigration. Somebody has what it takes to take you there, and the person is saying that unless you pay 50,000 Ghana cedis, you are not going. They will not allow you in. That at that moment is extortion. It's extorting from you. As for that, it's permitted. You can be extorted. If you can, pay and go. You have not sinned. You didn't offer. He demanded it. Do you get it? He demanded it. And you know that if you don't give. I remember recently, I think Daddy was sharing a story where they have done a contract for the government and they're supposed to be paid the money they are due. And the person who is in charge is telling them that until they give him something or they allow him to take a particular percentage, do not get their money. So money he didn't work for, he took 15%. I know people who, if you are a government worker, one of the things you should pray for and pray that God help you is that you don't have issue with Controller General. When your verification becomes an issue, yay, you are finished. By the time they'll correct it for you, if it is 6 months salary, you will get half month salary. Half of it, half month. I don't say 1 month too. The amount of money they extort from you before they do that correction for you. If you are here and you do that, it is wrong. It is an expression of love for money. Love of money. And that is where the root, you are developing root for all kinds of evil. Extortion. But you can be extorted. That one there, there's nothing wrong. At that point, if that is all the way out for you, just allow them to have their way. Eh? Just allow them to have their way. Amen. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chamber by injustice. Who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work. You are extortion. That is extortion. Are you with me? Are we all on the same page? Now, the Bible, you see, we recognize this as wrong. The next one is bribery. Bribery. When somebody comes and offer you money and you accept it, to induce you to do something otherwise, it's not right. God hears it. Isaiah 33 verse 15. The next one is unjust weight. This one goes to those who sell. This is personal attack. Hallelujah. Now, do you know that? I heard this story. I thought it was a lie. And my mom confirmed it. You see, when you are going to buy Gary, you see that conco that they used to measure it. Have you ever seen how it looks under there? The way they make sure it comes up. Do you know that at a point, those who are selling bag of maize, the layer of the maize, the base there, they use stones. And they'll cover it. And they'll pour some of the maize on it. So you come and carry maize. You go, when you pour your maize, you see stones. They also add stones. You bought stones. Ghana here, when you talk of people, if you talk of people who are very good with unjust weight,
Ghanaians.
How God.
If, okay, they said fruit juice. Let's use fruit juice as an example. If we're supposed to make 3 bottles out of 1 pineapple, I can guarantee that a Ghanaian will get 15 bottles out of it. But my daughter is never like that. She will never do that. If she does that, she knows she's cursed. Of course. That is evil. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, since you don't like my message, but I have to say it. Hey, on your sweet. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 15. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. You have not been cheated before, eh? Cocoa crashing. But you know how they do. Eh? Do you know how they do it to us, the cocoa there? There is never a first kill in the cocoa, where they buy cocoa. When the scale is sent from headquarters, when it gets to the regional, there's an adjustment. Then, when it gets to the district, there's an adjustment. Now, the clerk, who is... So, the actual weight of the cocoa that you sent, a bag of cocoa is 64 kilos. If you use it on the original scale, you get like 70. The 6 kilos has been evenly distributed. you want to try Ghanaians. And they know. So, when you bring the cocoa, when it is moving from the clerk to the district, that is the depot, okay? They know how much they have added as kilos. So if they got like 20 bags, they'll calculate the number of kilos they have already added and deduct it from that. Then they'll set the fair weight of the scale that they give them. Now, when the depot is also sending to the national, they also know what they added to the scale that got you. That's how cocoa clerk, most of them made money. For doing nothing, unjust. It's not good. That is love of money. You are showing it. You're on that part. The last one, which I know most of you may not like. If you are involved, if you are part of this, hallelujah, God will help you. Quick money, aka super bet, sporty bet. Give me all the bets. Lottery and gambling. 1x bet. Bet power. Quick money. Let me read this scripture. Maybe you think that's not in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. If you like quick money, let's look at what Proverbs said. The Bible says wisdom profit, right? So let's listen to what wisdom is saying. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessing, but he who hasten to be rich will not go on. Are they punishing them? Sometimes, when a match, in fact, Wednesday, Twitter was not good. Investors were angry. Hey, Real Madrid made many investors lost their. They were punished by Real Madrid, you know, and nobody saw it coming. Nobody, in fact, the number of goals, nobody saw it coming. You can go and bet, but I'm telling you what wisdom is saying. He said, if you want to be rich quick, you will never go unpunished. That's why forex trading is never gambling. You try and go and you just try it there. You see, gambling. Bet, lottery, you'll be punished. Are we there? These things are all expression of what? Love of money. So, what is the things that we do to show that we want to make money at all costs? 2 key things. Number one, whenever we are in love or we want to make money by all means at all costs, 2 key things that becomes predominant in our life. The first thing predominant is we tell lies. See, people will tell lies to make sure. Now, it is so very active in our generation today. And I don't know why I'm so comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable about it. You know, now people will slander to make money on social media. If you go on social media, do you know the kind of things that people say about people? Lies. Cooked. All because they want few clicks. Money has been sold to our generation that people will do anything, tell all kinds of lies. I said, They gave a story about a very close friend of mine. That's when I know that most of the things on social media are not true. Hey, the things they said about him, NK in team. I said, what? Since when? And if you see the way it was trending, I said, wow. Another thing, kill for money. Now, it is so easy for people to kill you, even if not physically. They can kill your dream, kill your opportunity, kill anything of you, as long as it will fetch them money. At all costs. When you get to the point where you don't care the pain that will be inflicted on another person, as long as your pocket will be filled, you are a killer. Killer one. When you get to that point where you can inflict pain on people without any remorse, as long as it's financially rewarding to you, love of money.
Hallelujah.
So generally, this is some of the things that surrounds the concept of love of money. But the thing is, we're talking about anointing, right? So how does the anointing force into the part of money that people will love money? Let's start that quickly and go home. Now, when an individual steps or begins to discover his ministerial path, such a person is exposed to the corruption of love of money. A Christian or a believer has nothing to do with the love of money until he or she steps or begins to discover his ministerial path. The moment you discover your ministerial path and you begin to step into it, you are exposed to love of money. And how is that possible? Let's look at something. Ministry begins when the power of God comes upon an individual, which is God's ability channeled through human vessels to advance and manifest the kingdom of God. So in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said, wait until the power comes upon you. And when you receive power, you shall be my witness. So when power comes on you, you are sent or you become a witness of God. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 12 verse 28. So until the power of God comes upon a person and the person becomes a conduit for the channel of God's power, the person is not in ministry yet. Are we on the same page? But the moment the power of God comes upon you and that you become a conduit by it transferred, the power comes and you are able to transfer that power in advancement of the kingdom, you are in ministry. It means you are rendering service. Now, let's go into this. However, we need to know that the advancement of the kingdom of God always brings the judgment of God on the kingdom of darkness and relief to the individuals who are victims or slaves of what? The darkness. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let's read Acts 10, 38. Now, one thing you have to do, anytime we seek to advance the kingdom of God, means expand God's kingdom, one key thing is that it always brings judgment on the kingdom of darkness and brings relief to the people who are slaves of that darkness. Brings relief to them. Now let's read this. What the Bible says, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? Holy Spirit and with what? Power. What did he do? He went about doing what? Good. That is relief, right? And healing all who were what? Oppressed by what? The devil. For God was what? With him. So we saw that when Jesus was advancing the kingdom of God on earth, there were two things here. People were relieved. The kingdom of darkness was judged. Because the oppressor was now being oppressed. And the people he oppressed were freed. Are we on the same page? So anytime you said you are advancing the kingdom of God, the power of God is working through you in terms of advancement, you will see that you are bringing relief to people. Now let's move on here. These reliefs, such as healing, insight, which is the teaching I'm doing, deliverance, and all other forms that the people gain, bring solution to their situations, which ideally, by the wisdom of the world, a compensation of great gain must be given to the provider. When we bring relief, which is deliverance, healing, teaching, insight, it brings solution to the situations of the people, right? But the wisdom of the world says that whenever you are able to offer solution to people, there should be a great gain to you, the Lord, the provider. This is the basic definition of business, which is providing solutions to the need of people at gain, which is profit. Any Anytime you are involved in business, do you know what you are doing? You are providing solutions to people's situation, bringing relief to them. And then at that, you are out. You make gain. You make profit. And whenever the power of God is turned to us, we are always at the business of what? Bringing relief. Providing solution to people. So, by the wisdom of the world, it should be a great gain, true of us. Okay, let me make it more practical. Imagine you are sick of an incurable disease. You are admitted at a hospital where every month you are paying a minimum of, let's say, 30,000 Ghana cedis every month as what to keep you alive. Then God sent Prophet Jericho and he comes to minister to you. And instantly you are healed from that ailment. Is that not a solution? Is that not a relief? By human wisdom, don't you think that he deserves a great gain from what he has done? So what is wrong with Prophet Jericho having healing, deliverance, miracle center when you come, we charge you? At the end of the day, are you not relieved? Are you not delivered? Is there no solution to your problem? So why are you complaining that they are taking a consultation fee? That is the natural human wisdom. Are we on the same page? And this is because the anointing is upon you. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that God has used us to bless them naturally. We must make profit out of it. But what is the truth here? However, the condition to operate in the power of God or any gift of God bestowed on us forbid us to be profit or to a profit monetary in the use of it. In as much as by human wisdom, when we bring relief to people, the condition of operating God's power or any gift of God forbids you from any profit monetary wise. And that is the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Let's read. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Do you see what he said? He said, you should do what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. This was the use of what? The power of God. Is that not so? We were supposed to use the power of God in this field. Now, listen to the condition. What is the condition? Together, let's go. Freely you have what? Received. Freely what? Give. So in as much as we are also providing solutions to people's predicament, bringing relief and making life sustainable for people, the thing that we are using, whatever we are using to deliver that, as far as the kingdom is concerned, is ministry. As far as it is ministry, which is you on divine assignment, you are forbidden. This is because it was freely given to you for the benefactors to enjoy free of charge, since no mundane thing, irrespective of their monetary value, can be faked to transact business with God or can be exchanged for anything God gives us. Now let's read Acts chapter 8 verse 20. The reason why the anointing is not that God is wicked, though. The reason why the anointing, the power of God, cannot be transactional is because there's no mundane thing in this world that can be fit for purpose to do transaction with God. No. It's an insult to God. I'm going to give you three things. It's an insult to God to think that there is anything within this earth realm that has equal value to whatever he gives us. You can't pay for it. No, human beings, one thing that human beings does is that they want to feel that they have done something to earn something. Are you with me? The human beings, by nature, we don't want to owe. But the truth of the matter is that we all owe God. Everybody owes God. He owns you and you owe him. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought, do you hear it? That the gift of God could be what? Purchased with money. You thought. God didn't want to give anybody the funny idea that you can ever purchase anything from him with your money. So whenever God is releasing something of him to you, because That God wants to avoid that thought, the condition is that it is free. Salvation is free. I said salvation is what? Is free. Healing is what? So please, anytime you want to deliver something in the field of ministry, on behalf of the kingdom, on advancing the kingdom, know that that thing that you are delivering, because of the content and the quality of what you are delivering, you must know the condition in delivering it. You cannot transact it. You cannot transact it. Hence, I want to give you some three things. Take this from me. As a minister, see, at every point in our life, we will be ministers. One of the signs of our Christian growth is that we become a vessel which God can use us to bless other people. The moment you step into the field where you are blessing other people to advance the kingdom, are you following me? You are a minister. At that moment, you must understand these three things I'm going to tell you. It's in your best interest. Number one, whatever God gives is beyond material equivalence. Whatever God gives is beyond material equivalence. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1. One thing, he said, "Ho, everyone who thirst, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come." You see it? Buy and what? And eat. Yes, come. Buy wine and milk without what? Money and without what? Price. Do you understand this, son? It simply means that there is whatever God gives, there is no what material equivalent to it. You can't put price tag on it. The moment you do that, you are insulting God. Yeah. It's in your best interest. So why do you think that healing, when God heals you, you can pay for it? And what gives me the right to charge you? Are you there? What gives me the right to charge you? I don't have the right. There's no material equivalent. Number two, no material or human effort can purchase divine action. It is in your best interest to know. You cannot. No material or human effort can purchase divine action. Psalms 49 verse 7 to 8. Most times people think that God is being wicked. That is why when pastors pray, they want to charge this and that. No. We have to understand why we can't charge. Why Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give. There's no any material equivalence to anything divine, God. And you cannot purchase divine action. You can't. Listen, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You can't. Accept it. You know, there was a time in the dark ages of the church that the practice of the church then was that when somebody dies, you have to pay for the person to go to heaven. Have you heard of that story before? What was the name of that payment? It had a name. It had a name, I've forgotten. But you have to pay. And that is how the Catholic Church became so rich. Imagine 1,000 people died and they are all paying to go to heaven. Thank you. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease out forever. The last one. Nothing created can be currency before the creator. It is in your best interest to know that anything that is created can be a currency before the creator. Nothing. Nothing. Acts chapter 17 verse 24 to 25. Acts 17, 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with what? Hands. Move on. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath and all things. Do you understand? Currency. Nothing in this time realm can be a currency to God. Nothing. He gave them. Do you understand this thing? Okay, let me give you a typical example. It is just like your father has bought you a car. And on his birthday, they want to give the car back to me as a gift. Do you get it? He bought the car for you. And then you, on his birthday, you want to bring the same car to him as a gift. Does it make sense? That is how we think. When we want to transact, okay, when God does something for us and we want to pay for it, transact. That's why I said, freely have you received what? Freely give. Would that not be an insult to your father? Therefore, the principle in Matthew chapter 10, 8 makes it an illegal means to make money with anointing when you are acting in your ministerial capacity. We are talking of the love of money, right? And said the love of money is not making money by all means at all cost. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8 therefore defines that it's one of the means that believer can never make money. You cannot. It's illegal for you is to use the anointing for transaction. Freely have you received, freely give. To use the gift of God for transaction. So the part where money comes into ministry, anointing, where, that is where it comes in. The part that it comes in is simple. That as far as it has to do with ministry, advancing the kingdom of God, that anointing at work, the power of God at work on you over there, it is illegal to make money out of it. Illegal. You can't transact business. Therefore, any person who is convicted or makes a determination to profit monetarily from the use of God's anointing is clearly a victim of love of money. Micah chapter 3 verse 11. Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 3 verse 11. Listen to what he said. Her heads judge for what? A bribe. Her priests teach for what? Pay. And her prophets divine for what? Money. Yet they lean on what? The Lord. And say, it is not the Lord among us. No harm can come upon us. You see, the moment you lean on the Lord means that you outsource the power. Whatever is making you profitable in that thing, you are outsourcing it from the Lord. Do you get it? God has not given you permission to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17, can you give me in the NIV? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17. Unlike so many do, we do not peddle the word of God for what? Oh, help me. Let's read that. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for what? We do not peddle the word of God for what? Paul was giving a clear indicators of the understanding of the principle. The question is, with this clear instruction in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, why do people still, or men of God, or ministers, or people still want to use the anointing to make money? Three things. Quick, let's go home. Number one, lack of faith. Lack of faith. When we don't believe that Philippians 4:19 is true, and we are materially oriented, we will surely use the anointing. Do you know what Philippians 4:19 says? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and not in glory in Christ Jesus. Is that not so? When you see somebody who is using the anointing to make money, it means that the person does not believe in that scripture. He doesn't believe God will supply. And I tell you, there is a point in your life you can be exposed to that. Don't think you're exempted. Okay. Well, maybe it is some of us, and maybe Prophet Jericho, it is some of us that may be exposed to that. There's a point where, and then God will bring somebody into your life, and then there will be a big breakthrough. And now the person is so vulnerable. At that point, every price you mention, the person will give. And then you remember that it is God who provides. It's not. Some of these things, some of us can really relate. There's a point where reality will check you, that if you don't take care, you use the anointing to make money. I always make a statement to Francis Kassam. I tell her that when I want to spend your money, I'll be very frank, I'll never use God. So if I need money, I'll tell Franca, I need money for this. But I'll not say that I saw. So bring this money and let me do this for you. I'll not do that. It's a clear indication that you don't trust God, that he'll provide for you. So when people lack faith and they can't trust that Philippians 4:19 is true, they'll surely use the anointing, because he is providing what? Services. He's giving solution to people. Naturally, he can make gains out of it. So, you do what? Number two, lack of patience. Quick money. You know, today, there's so much pressure on young ministers, that want to drive the cars the Archbishop is driving. Sit in the first class flight they sit in. There are a lot of things that appear, wear their suit. We want the same opportunities with them. We are not patient. But you know, the rule is that for anything that God will trust in you, and in the book of Luke, the chapter 16 that we read last week, he said that if you cannot be faithful with what? Unrighteous mammon, who shall trust into your hand? And I told you that one of the things that God does is that he uses money to train you before he can trust you with the anointing of wealth. So when you are impatient, you think that the anointing has given you. You know that there was this pastor friend who called me some time ago and asked me that, why won't I invite him to my church so that he can come and preach and I'll give him an honorarium? And I asked him, why? He said, but that is the work he does. He goes to places, he meets people, he engages with them, then he goes and preach, and then they'll give him money. So he's calling people, he's not patient though. He's calling, he's making his own arrangement. Invite me, let me come and preach so that I can give you an honorarium. Because of impatience, you will begin to give prophecies that God has not asked you to give. You begin to give directions that God has not. Just because you want to make sure that you also drive a car that don't know, oh man of God, God is blessing you. Impatience. I don't know who we want to impress. That is one of the things. The third one, wrong motives for entering the ministry. Now, people think that church is a money-making business. So many people think that if I go to the Bible school, graduate from the Bible school, I have license, all I need is to find a very renowned man of God and submit to him, start a church, then the offering and tithes shall be my own. Wrong motive. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5. Wrong motive. They see ministry as an avenue to make cheap money. The moment you see it that way, you sell the anointing. You sell Yesu Moja. You sell it. That this is the blood of Jesus. This water, as I've prayed over it, Jesus has taken authority over it. Bring 5,000 cedis. It will cure your cancer. Yeah, you do it. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I don't want to. Wow. Let me read through this quickly and you go. I don't want to pass this next week. Now, diagnosis of this corruption. How do you know that somebody is suffering from the love of money as a minister of God? A minister of God? How do you know? Let's get them. I'll give you five. I'll read through. I'm not going to explain. So, write it. Using worldly ways to raise money in the church. When you see that happening, know that the love of money has entered there. And you're on the path of losing anointing. When a man of God or a church uses hype and manipulation, which is witchcraft, to exert pressure on people to give or sometimes trick them to give, that is a pure sign of love of money. That is the number one diagnosis. And you know the way they used to do it? They'll bring somebody here to give some crazy testimony of how money made it for the person. So, you come here, example. By the grace of God, I sowed the seed of 3,000 cedis to the life of pastor. And I brought the seed here. Immediately, listen to the word though. Somebody called me. Said, brother, this and that. And then immediately I got 3 million Ghana cedis. This anointing upon my head here is able to make people rich. Last time, somebody came to me and brought a seed of 5,000 and I prayed for him. Immediately, he got a contract of $3 million. I see that God is about to give you a contract. Rise up, sister. Rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. Sister, rise up. Bring 10,000 Ghana cedis right now, right now. I see the breakthrough. Come on, let that more shire. I see it right now. Come on, bring it. Pressure. Pressure. Oh, yes, sister. What happened last time when I prayed for you when you sowed the seed of 2,000 cedis? Then she also gullibly gave that testimony. Oh, one pastor prayed for me instantly. My father who forgot me called me and bought me a new car. I said, rise up and give that 10,000 cedis. Give it. Ha. Kola baba shaya. So if they don't want to give 10,000. Trick. You give, they force people to make pledges. You know, some people have stopped some church because of some people have stopped going to some church because of a pledge. Yes, all of you here, get up. All of you here, how much are you giving? Then the brother will say, oh, I'll give. So what am I saying? How much are you giving? Asofu, please, how much are you giving? Oh, you also don't mention. Oh, please mention something so I can take my offering. How much are you giving? Asofu, bless.
$1,000.
Oh, let's give it up to him. Please, you can't go below 1,000. How much will you give? That's how we do it. Pressure. Another way of doing that trick is that all those who can give $4,000, come here. Let me anoint you. Come. Where's the anointing oil? This oil was given to me by Benny Hinn. He fasted 121 days and prayed over all this oil and gave it to me. That whoever I anoint, that person will break through. Today, I've never used that oil before. Today. Hala my voice. Why you not playing the key? Come on, flow with me. So left. I can't remember voice, Aya. Yes. Who wants to make $1 million contract? Come here right now. Come here. Come here with a seed of $10,000. Come here. Don't worry. If you don't have, you can even borrow. Can't even borrow. Don't worry. You can't even borrow. Shandemovo la brasaya. Pressure. Beni Shanuswil. Otostomuhia. The oil was bought from this shop. Love of money. Use gimmicks. Haven't you seen some before? And some of you gave because of that pressure. You are here looking at me as if you've not done some before. You were caught by that pressure and you were tricked. Sometimes they it's okay. If I say something, I'm exposing people's business. It's not good. Then they'll put something over here. That when you buy this thing and you do this thing, it can. Oh Jesus. Fundraising strategies. Number two. The day pastor will do this, leave the church. I give you permission, leave. If I call Daddy Joe, once I start, call Daddy Joe. Daddy, I think your son is missing it today. He needs to visit the psychiatric hospital. If we need money, we will tell you. We need money to do this. If you can give, give according to your ability. Why? Which kind of... Number two. Overburden people with ambitious projects. Now, a lot of men of God... See, these things have been trending in the social media. Where churches will have a project where they want to buy a car for pastor. The church members who want to buy a car for pastor, they don't even have a bicycle tire. Then they'll come and say that, yes, God said we should buy a car for pastor. But the one with the highest earning in the church, monthly salary is $3,500. Do you know the car they want to buy? Lexus. A 4x4. The one that give glory and honor to pastor. Prophet, I think we are not enjoying you. You people, I command you by the close of next month, you must bring me my lessons here in Jesus' name. Francisca, what is the meaning of that expression? You leave the church. Unrealistic project. Like by this house you are here. I have forced you people to contribute for us to go and rent a place at somewhere East Legon. From very expensive, and you pay for it. Do all kinds of, and church members will borrow. There are some that go into that kind of burden. Do you know one of the places that is so ugly is the music ministry? I've heard, not that somebody said, oh, people have come to tell me, at least two people have come to tell me, how they sleep with their boyfriends to be able to raise money to buy materials to sew for ministration. Because, qua, they must look alike. It's the same. Hey, yeah, do you know what you're going to do in future? You better rob a mom. You rob. There's no... Is there anything... Like, wouldn't the Holy Ghost descend? You rob. Martin, do you remember your robe in a palm? He was part of the church choir, the school choir. Hello, Martin was part of the school choir. Oh, prophet, don't you support me on that? We will rob. I don't want any problem. People were sleeping with other people to raise money to buy shoe. Buy the same material because every Sunday they change their clothes. Every Sunday. Burden the people for... Because I want to sing and praise my God. Why should I be... Why? Why should I suffer? When you see such a thing and it becomes the normality, that is the love of money. People are being... Love of money. Overburdening people with projects in the name of God. The redemption kind. God has not sent you. If God wants something done, he will not need hype. The sight and pressure to get money for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7 said, let everybody give according to his ability. Number 3. Absence or minimal accountability system. When you go to a church where the pastor and the wife are the signature to the church account, that church, love of money is already ruling. Now, who are you to go and question them? When offering is taken, they pack everything straight to the pastor's car. The pastor and the wife will count the money at the house. I don't even know how much you have in your account. Unless they double post it. I have no idea. We don't. If you want to know our account today, we will give it to you. There's nothing to hide. It's your money. It's your money. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 21. The next one. This one is serious. Insisting on an amount of money as honorarium. Back to some of our music ministers and some of our men of God. The trend now is that before I come to minister for you, we need to negotiate price. No money, no movement. Now, one of the issues in Nigeria is that most of the music ministers, do you know what they do? They lobby to minister for the big names. Like Dr. Polinieche, Apostle Selman. They will go there. That place there, they can't go and ask for honorarium. Then to make name for themselves. Now, when they are going to make those names, who will be touching you? You, the one who is trying to rise, young man of God. Me that have ministered for Apostle Selman, you want me to go and minister for you? The conditions that will be... However, you see, it is wrong to charge honorarium, but it's also wrong not to handle men of God well. Let me give you a scripture. Titus 3 verse 13. It is also wrong to not to take care of a visiting minister well. It is wrong. It's not good. It's wrong. Titus 3:13. Titus chapter 3 verse 13. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste that they may lack nothing. That they may what? Don't do that to a visiting minister. Treat them well. Last one. Charging money for spiritual work like healing, deliverance, especially consultation fee. When you insist on consultation fee before you will be seen, it's a clear sign of love of money. Right attitude towards money. One, I'll be done soon. We should acknowledge God as our source. Finish. If you want to be saved from the love of money, you have to acknowledge God as your source. One. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Yes, God will use people to bless you, but acknowledge that it came from God. Don't be obsessed and fixated on people. Acknowledge God. When God is always the point of reference of source, you'll be saved from this corruption. Number two, we should put money at our feet. This is some of the things that Daddy taught us. I'm just mentioning them to you. Acts chapter 3. Sorry, Acts 5, 32, 37. Number 3. We should understand that the gold is for the king. This part is very important for me. The purpose of the gold, or the purpose for which God created the gold, is for the king. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, they brought gold to who? Jesus, what? The king. Now, one thing we have to realize is that when God blessed the people of Israel, Exodus chapter 12 verse 35, with much wealth from Egypt. Do you remember when they were leaving Egypt, they blessed them? Do you know for the purpose? It was to build the tabernacle. The moment Aaron missed the purpose, he made them what? Worship it. The gold is for what? The king. It's not for you. It's for who? The king. Therefore, we must see money as a tool for the accomplishment of divine assignment. This should be our simple view of money. It's a tool. Last one. God gives us money to establish his covenant on earth. We must see ourselves as stewards of God's what? Resources. If we are stewards, then we should know that we would be called to account for any penny that comes our way. This means that we should be frugal with what? With money. I pray for you that you not make money by all means at all costs. You will not be insisting on making money by all means at all costs. The love of money, as somebody who's anointed, is to use the money, transact with the money. It's illegal. You can't do transaction with the money, with the anointing. You cannot. So please, let's be very careful when it comes to our exposure to money. I want you to close your eyes and pray that, Lord, help me to have faith in you. Three things. Lord, help me to have faith in you. Lord, help me to have faith in you. Because it will be the cause of lack of faith that will make us use the anointing to make money. Help me to be patient, Lord, even in difficult times, in times of trial. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your voice. Thank you, Father.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.